1. We're going to kind of dig in and learn just a little bit about the new heaven and the new earth. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, for the day you've given us. We thank you, Father, for all the many, many blessings you poured out on us. But, Father, there are none that exceed the Lord Jesus Christ and, Father, the hope that we have in eternity. And I pray, dear God, Lord, we are so mired and hung up in the things of our day. I pray, Lord, that you would just focus our hearts now on heaven, on the new heaven and the new earth, Lord, because it just keeps getting better and better. And I ask that you would just speak to our hearts now and our minds. Father, give us clarity of thought as we try to communicate, Lord, from your word, Lord, some challenging concepts. But Lord, I just pray that you would work in a way that only you can. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So take out your Bibles, if you would. Again, as I mentioned, go to Revelation chapter 21. And we are kind of winding down our series on heaven. And I know that's a tough thing to do because there's so much to think about, and heaven is something that's really hard for us to grasp. But we're going to proceed forward today. I want to speak a little bit today. This is part two of the message that we started last week. This concept, right, of we got heaven on our mind, but we're thinking about the present heaven and the new heaven and the new earth. So I want to move right into our thoughts today. And I mentioned this last time, it's a little bit confusing to kind of separate these things. And we're going to try to separate that this morning as we look in to your word. But here's the thought. Get this in your minds, right? Believers in Christ ascend to the present heaven the moment they die on earth. And you guys, what's the verse that would tell me that? Write this one down. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, right? Absent from the body, what do we say? Present with the Lord, right? You hear that at funerals all the time. This is not a funeral today. We are celebrating the fact that when we're absent from this body, we are immediately present with the Lord. And at the same time, it gets better and better. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to be in heaven the moment that I shut my eyes this side on earth. But guess what? It'll get better in eternity. The Lord is going to actually cleanse this earth with fire, cleanse the heavens with fire, and there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. And that's what we want to think about this morning as we dig in. So just a really quick review. We talked a little bit about our ascension into heaven just a week or so ago, and we're going to go slow by these questions, but I want to leave you with a thought that really is overarching for this whole series. I said it last time, right? Isaiah 55. Because it's hard for us to kind of wrestle through heaven, right? But here's the thought. Remember, God said this. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I want to say this. We're going to say some things that are going to kind of go, really? Yeah, because God's thoughts are higher than ours, deeper than ours, better than ours. So as we dig into this, hopefully that will help us to understand. And I mentioned this one verse already, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the moment we die this side of heaven, we open up our eyes and we are with the Lord as believers in Jesus Christ. And just a quick verse to kind of remind us of that. We looked at it last time. Remember the thief on the cross there with Jesus? And remember Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you today, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say next week. He didn't say in a while. He didn't say 1,000 years from now. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So that's that present heaven. We want to just kind of grasp that, right? We talked about this idea of our soul. You know, when we die, our soul, what separates from our body, our soul and spirit. And there's a debate about soul, spirit. Is it three? Is it two? But our soul and spirit go to heaven to be with the Lord. And our soul is this, the living, conscious, immaterial, and eternal part of our being that makes us man and was breathed into us by God at creation. And I gave you the verse there, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, differentiating us from the birds, from animals, from everything else. We have a living soul that is eternal. And that's the real us. And I'll throw this out. Think about our bodies, right? I shared this last week. You know, our bodies grow old. We don't even like the way that we look. We don't want that to be the way that we look. But guess what? That's our body. But our soul, remember the Lord says this, he said in the book of 2 Corinthians, he says, even though our outer man is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day. And that's what we want to just kind of get this done. And 2 Corinthians gave us this idea about our collapsing tent, the temporary nature of our bodies. And we're just going to skip by that. And then John 14 talked about our permanent home, right? We looked at this last time again, thinking about this this intermediate state or the present heaven, right? Personal knowledge continues. Personal feelings, love, compassion, comfort, pain continue. So I want you guys to get this in our minds. When we step into heaven, we're not going to step into heaven like zombies. We're not going to step into heaven and be different in a sense of who we are as people than we are here. There'll just be no more sin, right? Which is an awesome thing, right? And then our resurrection body, we talked about that. Will we have a body? When we pass, our soul and spirit go to heaven, the present heaven, you know, how will we distinguish each other? We looked at Luke 16 last week, right? And people recognized each other. Does God come up with sort of some temporary body until our body is resurrected? Perhaps. Scripture is not real clear on that. And then I want to pick up a question that, you know, is on all of our minds probably. What happens? I think I went backwards. Excuse me. What happens with the death of an infant? What happens with someone who has special needs? What happens with someone who cannot understand? And we can all think about situations in our own family, in others' family. You know, that's a very difficult area, isn't it? And I want to take a moment this morning and just give us some scripture that kind of will enlighten us on that. And here's the first one. Jesus and the Lord and God love kids. Remember Matthew 18, it says, Jesus told the disciples, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. God loves kids, right? Then the next one it says, Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to skip down, come back to Psalm 11 in a minute, but King David lost a son. Remember when Bathsheba was pregnant, right? Lost a son, right? And he said, and by the way, King David, as long as that child was, in the womb, was just praying to God for deliverance and doing all those things. But the baby died. And King David said these words, he said, but now he's dead. Why should I fast? I can't bring him back again. I'll go to him, but he shall not return to me. Right? And David said that, right? Those are some heavy words, right, from a man who really knew God personally, right? And the idea that I want you to get in your minds, right, is that God is a righteous God. He doesn't say exactly what's going to happen, how that person is going to be redeemed, how that person is going to be saved. But most theologians say, you know what? It seems like God is going to save those people that do not understand, could not attain to life even on this earth. And I read Psalm 11, verse 7. It says this, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance or his face beholds the upright. And I want to say this about, you know, that situation which is so difficult to go through. We rest in God's love and righteousness as David did. There's no verse I can say that says, this is exactly what's going to happen. but we trust in the living God who is just, who is loving, and never makes a mistake. Amen? And he's the God who's our comfort in the midst of those situations. You know, I want to move down and I want to pick up where we want to go this afternoon, which is this, this idea of a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to ask this as a question first. How many folks have ever, in their minds, distinguished between the present heaven? We've all sat at funerals or stood at funerals and said, they're in a better place, right? Where are they? And we learned from 2 Corinthians 5 and many other places in Scripture that we looked at that the moment we die this side of heaven, we open up our eyes in that present heaven. Just like we read in Luke 16 last week, right? But there's more than that. And the Scriptures, by the way, say this over and over, that there's a perspective that I want us to have about this day of the Lord. There's all these events that are going to come about in history, and all those events are going to birth a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to ask this question of you guys today. You know, when we say we're homesick, what does that mean? We miss the things that are familiar, the things that give us comfort, right? The things that we know. And by the way, the Lord God said this. He said he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to ask this question as you guys think about eternity. We've all had a chance to explore or see beautiful places on this earth, right? Anybody been to the Grand Canyon? You know, you've been to, you know, the beach, you know, various places around the world. And it's just like, wow, it's so beautiful. You've watched the sunset in the mountains or at a beach too. Those things are things that we love. Those things just comfort our hearts. And they're part of that homesickness. We want that kind of familiarity. And I want to say this, you know, God created us as human beings to live on earth and to enjoy those things. And God told us, by the way, in eternity, when we die and go to heaven, present, there's going to be even a better place. There's going to be an ultimate heaven and an ultimate earth where righteousness dwells. And that's where we're going to go. So the present heaven is not the forever heaven. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to kind of distinguish that this morning. I want to talk about that perspective a little bit. The perfections of heaven, we'll look at that briefly. And then in the weeks ahead, we'll kind of cover this idea of the pathway. How do we get there? And there's resurrection, reconciliation by God. God redeems everything and renews it all. So let's just kind of jump in for a second to our passage that we want to look at. Everybody look up. Let's just read it together. It says, but the day of the Lord. Everybody stop for a second. What is the day of the Lord? Sometimes Scripture uses the word that day, the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord is the revelation of God's judgment on all those who haven't followed him and trusted him, but it's also the revelation of his salvation to all of us who have, right? And he says this in his book of 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, right? It's going to come in a way that we don't expect, when we don't expect it, maybe differently than we expect it. And he says, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And I want you guys to kind of get that picture first. And by the way, that's kind of a scary picture, isn't it? It sounds like the whole universe is going to be burned up. But I want to say this. When God uses those words, right, it's not like burned up and destroyed. Anybody ever, you barbecue with charcoal, all that's left is what? The ashes, right? Like dust, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about like in the flood when God destroyed the earth. He uses that word, destroyed the earth. Was anything left? The answer is yes, right? What was left? The earth itself was left, and God what brought about a renewal. He saved eight people in that flood. He renewed everything, but he did away with that present sinfulness of man for a moment. But because he didn't wipe out all of man and all of their hearts and Satan at that point, sin came right back, right? That's sort of the idea. And look what he says. And by the way, here's the thought. As we talk about the end of time, we talk about heaven, we talk about hell, listen to this phrase, by the way. The teaching of these things is not just to make us wise or smart about it. It's to change how we live now. And he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And I want to stop for a second. Everybody look up for a minute. Death is a subject we don't like to talk about. You know, we don't want to talk about life insurance. We don't want to talk about any of those things, but it's a reality, right? We try to avoid it. We try to stay away from it, but this is a real thing that's going to happen, right? And as we stop and we think about that, it ought to cause us to look at our lives and say, how am I living now? Am I living with that reality in my mind? Is that something I know is going to happen? I know I'm going to meet God. I better get my act together. And by the way I get my act together is not try harder to be good. It's receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then follow him and grow in his grace, right? And he continues in his thinking. He says, looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Look what he says. Nevertheless, even though that's going to happen, we, according to his promise, look for what? Read it with me. A new heavens and a new earth in which what? Righteousness dwells. So, and that's by the way, that's the key thing we got to think about here, right? So there's the present heaven. When we die, we go there. Life on earth goes on. Generations go on. But God is going to cleanse all of heaven and all of earth and give us a place that we can enjoy for all of eternity. And that's what we want to kind of get a hold of. And it's like the rain of Genesis 7, but it's fire instead to cleanse us. And cleanse us, I should say cleanse the world, not cleanse us. The blood of Christ cleanses us. Real quick, we're not going to dig into this today at all, but there's a whole bunch of events that are going to happen. We're going to look at this before we end the series. The rapture of the church. Right? God is going to snatch us out of this world before his judgment comes. The judgment seat of Christ. God's going to evaluate not us based on our sins, but based on how we used our gifts, our time, our resources. The 7 years of tribulation. God is going to bring judgment upon earth like has never been seen before. The second coming of Jesus, his millennial thousand-year reign, the great white throne judgment. When death and hell and Satan and all those who don't follow Christ are cast into the lake of fire. And then finally, the eternal state, and that's what we're talking about today. So I want to say one thing real quick. Heaven right now, the present heaven, remember it's called the intermediate state. The new heaven and the new earth is called the eternal state. Lasts forever, right? So we're going to jump right into Revelation chapter 21. And I want to look at that beginning right now. So look what John, and by the way, John the Apostle wrote this. Same John that wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He wrote down this passage. And look what he said. And by the way, it says, you know, God took him up into heaven. He gave him a chance to see it. And he said, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And by the way, a lot of us want to have like a house at the beach. You know, that's like our dream, right? When he says there's no more sea, it doesn't mean there's not going to be any more ocean, but there's not going to be all these things in this life that divide us like the ocean does. He continues, right? And he says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's a new heaven, right? And I heard a loud voice from saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, but the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And I want to just stop here, and I want to kind of take this apart for a minute this morning, right? And I kind of try to summarize this in like a very wordy sentence, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So let's think about, what are some things that are going to be different in this new heaven and new earth? And the first thing I just want to mention is, it is perfectly prepared. How many of us have ever gone to a hotel, moved into a new house, right? And you find out that the perfection you were seeking is not there. Right? Been there, right? My daughter, she's out with the baby right now. She's moving to Delaware. She got her house. Brendan called yesterday, said the air conditioner is not working. What? Right? You know, and by the way, when does that happen? When it's 90 plus degrees, right? But you stop and think about it. But God has prepared a heaven for us that has taken care of everything. God has thought of every possibility, every need, every desire that is godly, and God has met that in this new heaven. And I want to skip on down. Look what he says next. What's different about this new heavenly home that we're going to have? And look at verse 3. He says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. The tabernacle of God is, you know, the tabernacle, remember, was that temporary dwelling place that the nation of Israel had, and they would literally take it on a cart, and they would go everywhere with the tabernacle because they wanted God with them. Kind of like on earth, sometimes, like, we don't feel like God's with us. He's not close. He definitely isn't there that I could touch him, right? Well, guess what? In the new heaven, God will be there. Jesus Christ will be there bodily. You will see him on the street. You will speak to him face to face. By the way, you will see him, and unlike Moses who only saw his back, you will see him and you will still live. God literally will be in our presence. Not just the Holy Spirit in our heart, but God in our presence. It'd be like God in the pew. Like, can you imagine if Jesus was in the pew? I wonder what he would think, by the way. You know? He would actually be there with us. So it's a perfectly prepared eternal city and earth where the literal presence and relationship with God now exists. We've never experienced that before. You know, at times we feel really close to God, and at times we feel really far away. In that new heaven and new earth, we will never feel very far from God. We'll never feel that again. And here's the next thing I want to say. You know, by the way, it's not just the presence of things that we're going to experience in that new heaven and earth, but it's also the absence of things that we will experience in the new heaven and new earth. And look what he says. First off, he says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. By the way, I want to think about that. Do you think there's tears in the present heaven? It kind of suggests that there might be. You know, some regrets, some things that, you know, God, things that we said, man, I wish I would have did that. I wish I would have said that. I wish I didn't say that or whatever. Right? There's going to be some things that we probably going to have regrets in. But in this new heaven that God's created, new heaven and new earth, it says God's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. And then check this out. Not only that, but the absence of all corruption, sin, selfishness. Think about that for a second. We've never lived a day on this earth when we haven't worried about ourselves. Isn't that true? By the way, whether you're a pastor, a deacon, whoever you are, we have never lived a day on this earth when we didn't worry about ourselves or our wife or our kids or whatever. We've never lived a day like that on this earth. But corruption, all that stuff will be gone. And look what he says here. He says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And check this out. There will be no more death. Death is going to be gone. Death will have died. Death will be defeated. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more funerals, no more morticians, no more undertakers, no more cemeteries. All those things will be gone. Stop thinking about that. By the way, the fear of death will be gone. The worry about death will be gone. The concerns about death will be gone. The looking forward to death will be gone. There'll be no more death. And then he says this. How about this? There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sorrow for what you did do or what you didn't do. There'll be no more sorrow for those that have gone on before us. There will be no more sorrow for anything in this life. And by the way, isn't this life full of a lot of sorrows? The longer we live, the older we get, just more sorrows. Those sorrows are going to be gone, right? And then look what he says next. No more crying. You know, crying is sort of the human way that we express our sorrow, right? Tears express the futility of our lives in dealing with the difficult things that come in life. God's going to wipe away every tear. There's not going to be any more crying when we get to that place. And then he says this, there shall be no more pain. By the way, if you were dozing for a second, you'd probably say, amen. Right? Amen. And by the way, so think about that just for a minute. No more physical pain. That's huge in and of itself. You know, all of us as we get older, right? We talked about that last week. The front of the pew in front of us is to get up with, right? That's how we get up. No more pain. No more arthritis. No more surgical pain. No more pain because something's broken in your body. No more physical pain. But let me stop, right? No more emotional pain. No more sorrow or sadness about our children, our parents, our family. No more emotional pain. No more psychological pain. All that stuff will be eradicated by God. All those things. Stop and think about that just for a second. Think about heaven. Heaven is amazing when I just think about what's not going to be there. It's an amazing place. And as we start, continue on in this, he said, those things, for the former things, have passed away. They are gone. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now, I want you to stop and just kind of think about that just for a second. And as I read these books, and I'm really challenged by Randy Alcorn's book as I read that more and more and more. But just stop and think about for a second that God makes everything new. All the things that you've broken, all the things that I've broken, think about the relationship messes that we have in this life. And God's going to make them new. There's people that you can't talk to, won't talk to, are afraid to talk to, right? In heaven, those things will be made new. By the way, even in church, right? Like don't think that we have a great church and we have great people, but we still got messy relationships, don't we? Amen, right? We do, right? Pastor Anser, he's honest enough to say it, right? We do. Relationships are a mess. Right? Husband, wife, ex-husband, ex-wife, children, parents, friends, employers. Right? We could go on and on. We could amen that all day. Just think about the mess relationships are, right? You know? Yeah. Judging church members. Oh, they ought to do this or that. Just think about that. God is going to make all that new, right? We need a new heaven and a new earth, don't we? And God's going to deliver on those things. So I just read this last sentence. Just say, think about this heaven this way. A perfectly prepared, eternal city. And an earth, by the way, and the word there, the word for earth, right, is this word like, looks like G-E-O. Where we get like geography from, geo, has the idea of earth, like earthy. And we are earthy and we enjoy earthly things, and even earthly things will be made new so that we can enjoy them. I want to throw this out for a second. I thought about this a lot as I was reading yesterday. Stop thinking about this for a second. When we think about our homesickness or the things that we love and enjoy that bring us comfort and give us joy, think about some of those things, right? Like things that we taste, we will eat in heaven on the Baptist floor. I'm joking, right? I'm joking about that. We will eat in heaven. Think about some of the smells. Freshly baked bread, you know, gingerbread. Think about some of the flowers, right, that we plant. You just smell the sweetness of the flower, like some of the smells of life. Last night we had a thunderstorm. You think about that smell of the rain when it comes, right? Like God is going to bring all those things back, and we can really be like the song says, homesick for heaven, because all those things that we love about life that are not corrupted anymore are going to just be amazing. Yeah, and again, think about the sights of heaven, the sounds of heaven. You know, I'm not quite sure how exactly we're going to sing in heaven, but think about how many folks enjoy music, love to listen to music. Do you think God's going to take that away when we get to heaven? Like, no, there's no music because y'all fight about it too much. No, right? No. Like those things that we treasure and enjoy in this life, God is going to make them all new and all a blessing and something that we can enjoy for all of eternity. Because that's part of being human. That's how God created us to be human, right? That we can enjoy those things in his image, right? So we are literally going to have the presence of God, the absence of any corruption, sin, sorrow, death, crying, pain, and everything will be perfected. That's amazing, right? And I want to just take a minute. I'm going to stop, you know, for today. By the way, I encourage you to read all of Revelation 21 and 22. It blows your mind a little bit, but read it. But I want to read this part. Revelation 21, 6 to 8. And it says, and he said to me, it is done. This is Jesus speaking. I am the Alpha and Omega. You know, by the way, you know what that means, right? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter. And Jesus said, I'm the whole alphabet. I'm everything. He said, it's done. The one who is everything has made everything right. And he says, he's the beginning and the end. And he said, I will give up the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I want to stop and camp on that for a quick second. Think about this. All your desires that have been cleaned up by God are yours. Isn't that amazing? But I don't mean anything sinful, so don't get the wrong idea, right? But all those things that we generally want or desire or love and enjoy become ours. He says, you will inherit what? All things. Like the earth is yours. By the way, people try to do that on earth. They think the earth is theirs on earth, right? And they sort of get everything that they want by stepping all over everybody else and taking it. But as believers in Christ in the new heaven and the new earth, God makes all those things available to us. And then, by the way, look what he says. He says, but the cowardly the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers. And that's the idea of like drug dealers, that kind of thing, right? Idolaters. And all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That stuff and those people who have turned away from God will not be there. Which in one way is sad, but in one way gives you an idea, this place is going to be holy. It's going to be set apart to God. It's going to be wonderful. It will never be corrupted. It is incorruptible. And I want to kind of get a hold of that. He says, think of the new heaven and earth this way. Everything good and beautiful on earth is present in the new heaven and the new earth perfectly. Sights, sounds, smells, knowledge, relationship, fellowship, and worship is there to be enjoyed as we enjoy God wholly in our resurrected body and redeemed soul, spirit, and mind. And by the way, I want to say this, everybody look up for a second. Have you ever gone somewhere, I remember doing this a whole lot of times, when you go somewhere in the outdoors, maybe you go hiking or you're somewhere beautiful, and it just causes you, like you watch a sunset and you're going like, man, God is amazing. Like causes you to worship God, right? That's what we're talking about. And we'll be able to do that in a body that is fit for all of eternity, that has no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no sickness, and no death. And even better than that, with a mind that has been fully redeemed, and a heart, soul, and spirit that can relate to God without any barriers or any obstruction of sin. That's what we're talking about. Now I'm going to stop, and I just want to say this. If you continue on in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, it talks about the heavenly city. And just to give you perspective, you might want to write this number down. The new Jerusalem, which, by the way, seems connected to the new earth. Heaven and earth have this direct connection. Is 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles long, and 1,400 miles high. I was trying to put that in perspective. Imagine this, a building that would span from Philadelphia Airport almost all the way to Denver. That's how big it is, right? That's how wide it is, that's how long it is, and that's how high it is. Remember John 14 talks about, in my Father's house are many mansions. It's really like dwelling places because God's mansions are 1,400 miles high. That is amazing. Again, try to wrap your arms around that kind of heaven. And I want to kind of close out. I said this, notice the symmetry. I want to close out with these thoughts today. We're going to go right to the bottom. And here's the key thing. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table in 1 second. And guys, you can come on down. But sit on this side if you will. Today is the day of salvation. Right? All this is ours if we are believers. Today is the day of hope because no matter what ails you today, just grab a seat just for a second. No matter what ails you for today, it's going to be solved in the new heaven and the new earth. It's going to be fixed in a way that is never able to be broken again, right? But today's also the day to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, you know what? We're going to go to the Lord's table in just a moment, and we're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus died and rose again, not just for all of you, but for me, for ourselves. And Jesus, he calls us to believe that. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And if you do, we're going to take up these elements today as a reminder, like a physical reminder when we taste that bread, that unleavened bread. We're going to remember that Jesus gave his very sinless body for us. And we tasted that grape juice or the wine, as we call it. We're going to be reminded that he shed his blood that we might have eternal life. And I want to challenge us to say that's what this is all about, right? So now we understand a little bit better about what heaven looks like. We ought to live a little bit differently in light of that fact. And as we get ready, our deacons are going to come and we're going to partake of the Lord's table. And Pastor Anthony is going to start us off. I want to just ask all of you for a second, if you just take a moment to bow your heads, close your eyes, and just talk to God about your present life. What's wrong? What's right? Where do you need God's help? And thank him for the fact that we can go to him just like that today and ask for forgiveness. And by the way, not just ask, but receive it ourselves. And Lord, and we look forward so much to that time that we're going to spend in the new heaven and the new earth with many great things that we've never experienced and many great experiences or awful experiences that we've had on this earth removed away. So Pastor Ansu, would you lead us in this time?
Amen?
Amen.
As we begin, let us look to the book of Luke chapter 22. In verses 14 to 19, it says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I said to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And in verse 19, he says that, it says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So here's the question. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, what do you remember? Jesus was telling his disciples, this is the last time I'm going to eat with you guys. But whenever you do this, remember me, remember the pain, remember the suffering, remember I stood in the gap to reestablish our relationship with the Father. Remember what he did for us. It shouldn't be a symbol that we come or something that we do every now and then, but the importance is remember me whenever you partake. So as we partake this moment, let us remember what Christ did for us. And that as we speak about heaven, what a joyous day when we all gather together in his presence. And then eat again. Amen?
Amen.
We'll ask someone to just pray for the bread.
All right. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to give thanks first for today. And also we want to give thanks for all the blessings you have placed upon us. And dear Father in heaven, we're here today in remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross and died and was buried in the grave. But on the third day from the grave, he arose. And from that time, we remember this, and we will always remember it because he rose from the dead for us, for our sins. And from this day forward and any other day, we give thanks, glory, and we praise his name. Amen.
Let us eat together. Amen. Let's go, come up.
You know, as we stop and we think about heaven a little bit, remember we talked about taste. Just take, stop for a minute, just taste that bread that we just had. No leaven, like no salt. It's not savory. Remember in the scriptures that has that idea, there's Jesus had no sin. And that to kind of stick in our minds as we stop and we think about it. As I go to the book of Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus instituted the Passover, as Pastor Ansu just talked about, I don't know if you noticed that Pastor Ansu said this as well. Jesus said, I'm not going to partake of that again until I go into the kingdom. And when we talk about the cup that represents his blood in the book of Matthew, he says the same thing. He says, then he took the cup and he gave thanks. And by the way, that's something we got to do today. Just stop a minute. Is there thanksgiving in our heart for the fact that Jesus died and took away the penalty for all of our sin? So he gave thanks. And he gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, my blood, he says, which is shed for many for the remission or the forgiveness and the taking away of their sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So as we think about down the road, it sounds like we're going to have a time of the Lord's table in heaven when we will remember and thank God and praise God for what he has done in giving us Jesus to die and to rise again. And I want to ask Deacon Ed Jackson if he would just take this opportunity to just pray and thank God for the cup that represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, we come before you, Father God, aware of the mercy that we need from you, Father. We are not worthy to partake of this sacrifice, yet we are thankful, Father, for Christ, that through Christ, forgiveness and life is freely given. We just thank you, Father, as we remember this blood that was shed for us, Father. Examine our hearts, strengthen our faith, give us an attitude of gratefulness for what you have done for us, Father God. And may this communion, Father, draw us closer to you and closer to each other, Father. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all drink together, shall we? Amen. We thank God for his shed blood. This time we're going to just ask the praise team to come. We're going to close out with a psalm this afternoon.
Let us all please stand as we sing together.
want to leave today, that's our hope, right? In the sweet by and by means down the road, we're going to meet on that beautiful shore, right? In the new heaven and the new earth. If we get there sooner, we're going to be in that present heaven until God makes it all happen. But we have a hope that goes beyond this life and its problems. And I just want to challenge all of us, you know what? Make sure, in one of the passages we didn't get to it today, it says, the only people that are going to be there are the ones whose names are written in the book. Make sure your name is in the book. It gets in the book by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're sure, please, please go out and tell someone else. We're going to close with a word of prayer. A whole bunch of things happened today. Bible school meeting back in, I think it's in room 20 and 21. Anybody going to Sight and Sound, need to see me or Pastor Ansu, see us. And don't forget, as you leave today, grab your gift. Beautiful flowers that remind us of the beauty of the new heaven and the new earth. Pastor Ansu, would you pray us out? In here, okay, thank you, I appreciate that.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the hope we have, Lord, in our new heaven, Lord, that we will gather in the sweet by and by, where there will be no pain, no sorrow, and all will be gladness. And help us, God, as we prepare for the new heaven. And even those who doesn't know you and doesn't have a relationship, they will think about it and want to be in that new heaven. As we go this week, Lord, help us to remember what you did for us to enable us to be a part of that new heaven. Thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.